here on the Triple Threat Sports Radio 610. Nice to be with all of you. A beautiful, beautiful January day here in the city of Houston. And we are back out in Katy. We get texts from people on the outskirts of town all the time, whether it's up on the north side in the Woodlands, down in Clear Lake, and certainly out on the west side here in Katy. When are you guys coming to Katy? Well, we're here. We're in Katy. We're at Little Woodrow's in Katy. It's a Friday, so swing on by Little Woodrow's in Katy. They got crab racing going on later on tonight at 9, 10, and 11 o'clock. If you're looking for, I'll say it if I get in trouble, if you're looking for a little underground wagering.
Absolutely.
On a sporting event here in town. If the NBA slate for tonight is not good enough for you and you're looking for somewhere to plunk a sawbuck down or maybe even a nickel or a dime, crab racing here at Little Woodrow's in Katy. We're at the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk. My name is Sean Pendergast. That voice you hear rising from the dead like Jon Snow at the beginning of season 5 or 6 of Game of Thrones, Rich Lord.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Happy New Year, Rich. This is the first time I get to wish you a Happy New Year.
I thought it would be Wednesday, then I thought it would be Thursday. Yeah. It turned out to be Friday. And I just want to say something here at the top of the show because the calendar flipping to 2019 marked a full 5 years that you and I have done this show together.
Yes.
January 1 of 2014.
And same hire date as Bill O'Brien.
Right.
He and I celebrate our work anniversary every year together.
Right. And I told you when I got here that I might do some fist bump, and I'm not going to shake anybody's hands because I'm still dealing with a little bit of a bug, but I'm fine to do the show.
Yeah.
Folks, this guy hasn't called in sick once in the 5 years I've worked with him. I could not feel more like a wuss every time I get knocked out by some flu bug. And by the way, my wife is a teacher. This is what happens to most of us, not Sean, who's also now engaged to a teacher with whom he's been living for years.
Yeah. But, I don't know, Rich. I don't know what it, I think it's
I
just.
I feel like such a weakling when I call in sick working with you.
Not my intent, obviously. I honestly think it's certain people get certain lottery tickets in life, and mine is the constitution that I have that allows me to avoid all these bugs. I don't get flu shots.
It's not just these 5 years, right? You never get sick.
Since I got into radio, in 2007, I've called in sick one time. And that was when I had a pancreas issue that put me in the hospital for 4 days back in 2009.
That's incredible.
Shout out to Dr. James Muntz, who's the GOAT.
Well, yeah. Shout out to Paul, too. I know he's listening. He dealt you some strong genes.
Paulie P?
Yes.
My pops? Yeah. Yeah, he did. I don't know what it is, but I appreciate it. It's good to have you back, man. I'm glad you're feeling better.
It's good to be back. Really happy to get back here on a Football Friday with John McClain and I'm sure various members of the posse that'll drop by here today. Yeah. And a lot of anticipation, obviously, building in this town. In advance of tomorrow's playoff opener for the Texans right here on Sports Radio 610, which will, I'm sure, take up the majority of our conversation here this afternoon. But you rolled the highlight there in the open. My God, Harden was amazing last night. If you stayed up late enough to catch Rockets-Warriors from Oakland last night, it was really one of the most memorable Rockets regular season games I've ever witnessed.
Rich, I couldn't have put it any better, man. That was as good a regular season game as you're going to see, when you consider all the storylines going into the game, James Harden is playing, crazy as this is to say for a guy who's been a two-time runner-up for the MVP and is the reigning MVP, he's playing noticeably the best basketball of his career.
It's incredible.
Like, he was the MVP, a runaway MVP last year, and he is noticeably better this year, which is absolutely amazing. I know there's a lot of people who say he needs to do it in May and June, and that's fine. But it's January right now, and I'm a big enjoy-the-moment guy, as I know you are as
right.
well. And coming into that game last night, coming off of being named the player of the month in the NBA for the Western Conference for the
right.
month of December, with stats that are just complete, with stats where he's bumping into names like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and that's it. That was a game that we were talking about on the show yesterday. Like, this is as big an individual statement game as you can get in early January for a guy who's had a gigantic December, and now he's going into the place that's, for him, has been a little bit of a house of horrors, because if you're talking about his playoff performance, his season has ended in the postseason against Golden State 3 times in the last
right.
4 or 5 years. So going in there and then doing what he did last night, Rich, no Chris Paul, no Eric Gordon. So he's the only creator on the court for this
team.
Well,
and that's what I was going to mention. You know, we talk about DeAndre Hopkins with no Kiki QT, no Will Fuller, and now no Demaryius Thomas, still able to excel.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, because we're not just talking about two very good players. We're talking about the second and third scoring options on this team.
Yes.
Maybe Capella's moved into one of those top three by now. I'm not sure. But
well, I think I think Capella is one of their top three players, but he's not one of their top three creators.
And probably over the long haul, despite the 29 he put up last night, yeah, not one of their top three scoring options. I would still say that Chris Paul and Eric Gordon come in behind Harden on this team. So, yes, go on. Obviously, it was even more remarkable.
Yeah, as guys who can create, he was the only guy out there who could go create his own shot. Everybody else is shooting threes off of what Harden does. They got 44 minutes out of Austin Rivers. They got 39 minutes out of Daniel House. Yeah. Rich, if someone had said to you, and by the way, came back from down 20 in the second half and came back from one of the most, and I know you want to talk about this, one of the most egregious calls of all time.
Good
or non-calls
God.
Of all time. But if someone had told you a month ago that with no Chris Paul and no Eric Gordon, that James Harden would go into Golden State and Daniel House and Austin Rivers were going to get 39 and 44 productive minutes respectively, and they would win that game, a game played in the 130s in overtime, you would have said, wait, what? Austin Rivers is on this team?
Right.
Who's Daniel House? Who are these guys? It's amazing what Harden, but secondary credit, too, for Daryl Morey for making tweaks to this roster that have had a noticeable effect on this team.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, in the third quarter, they put up, 39 points in the third quarter? Hit eight three-pointers, and Harden just put it all out there in the third quarter. So as a result, and as per usual, when the fourth quarter rolled around, they had cut the deficit to six, and he had a sit for 3 or 4 minutes.
Had to.
In those 3 or 4 minutes, that's where the game could have slipped away from the Rockets. And instead, guys like Gerald Green and Austin Rivers were hitting big shots and keeping them in that game. And, Sean, one other note on Harden I want to throw out here at the beginning, because it almost seems laughable now to think about 2 or 3 years ago when we were still questioning his credibility as a franchise player. Not from a basketball ability standpoint. We knew about all the magic he could perform on the basketball court. But as a leader of this team, both on the court and off the court, as someone who has basically taken this team on his shoulders, and again, I use the word leader because, little things mean a lot. And I know we've seen this before, but just look at what happened when they won the game last night. Harden stays on the floor, does his interview with TNT, and Capella, P.J. Tucker, a couple of other teammates, They would not go in the locker room without James Harden.
Yeah.
I mean, they and I know that may not seem like much to some people, but you don't see that on all teams with superstar players. It's pretty clear that he has fully embraced those guys around him, and they've done the same with him.
Yeah, and I think too, Rich, I think what's really helped, obviously Chris Paul, when he's healthy and when he's at full power, has helped from a basketball standpoint.
Well, there's no doubt. They need him, and it's amazing they won without him last night.
They do, and ultimately against Golden State in a 7-game series, or really any good team in a 7-game series, at the very least, they're going to need Chris Paul for those 12 minutes or so that James Harden is off of the floor. But the thing you're talking about, the leadership standpoint, I think Chris Paul has had an effect directly on James Harden in terms of setting an example for leadership.
Right.
And I think also things, little things like last night, like Chris Paul tweeting out 9 seconds after the game is over, MVP with a little emoji after it for her. Chris Paul is a guy who I think is probably not beloved around the league by a lot of players because he's such a red ass, but I do think he's a guy who's respected around the league by a lot of guys, and I know he's a guy who's respected in that building with the Rockets. And sort of the continual endorsement that Chris Paul, not only endorsement, but really almost conceding that, hey, I'm Chris Paul, but I'm the second guy on this team behind. Like, Harden is... he's the best player in the league right now.
Right.
I'm an all-star who's, you know, I'm the R2-D2 to his C-3PO, or, you know, Robin to his Batman, whatever you want to call it, however way you want to dork out, whether it's comic books or Star Wars. But I think that's been a big thing too, Rich, that kind of tacit endorsement from Chris Paul.
There's no doubt about it. It was, like I said, really, and I've been watching Rockets games since the 80s. One of the most unforgettable Rockets games you'll ever see. They've now won 11 out of 12. That slow start out of the gate is now a distant memory.
Yeah.
They're climbing the ladder in the Western Conference. I think they've gone from number 14 to number 3. Big game Monday night at Toyota Center with the top seed, the Denver Nuggets, in town after tomorrow night's game in Portland to wrap up the road trip. But you mentioned it, and I'll just throw it out there since I know our time is short here.
Again,
it's one of the most unforgettable games, and that is vying for the most egregious error by NBA officials, and you know historically how hard I am on NBA officials.
Yeah,
most of them suck.
Yes.
And there's a lot of personal agendas out there that impact calls being made or not being made.
Yep.
But Kevin Durant taking three full steps out of bounds and then saving the basketball and the play being allowed to go on and turning into a bucket that very likely, if not for Harden's heroics, was the game-winning bucket is just completely unacceptable.
Yes.
It's just insane. There was at least one of the three officials that had was looking at Durant when he took those three steps out of bounds. And I love Durant's response after the game. I don't have it verbatim, but he basically said, yeah, they were missing calls all night.
What can you say if you're Durant? Like, no, I was in bounds. You know, it's not like a pass interference call where you're like, no, I didn't hit him.
I mean,
it's
and you know this is another example for me in all sport.
Yep.
Get it right.
Yeah.
If there was a way, and I guess there's not, but if there was a way for somebody in New York watching on a monitor to get on the horn and say, look, you got to go back and you can't allow that because this is going to taint the outcome of this game, you do it.
Yeah, go look at the clock, find out when his foot touched.
Right.
Find
you
out
negate when the shot, you reset the clock, and you start from there.
Yeah, and you know me, Rich, you and I are kind of at different ends of the spectrum on the reffing thing. You know, you're more of a justice guy in this thing. I'm more of a, well, it's baked into the game and whatever. You know, I'm more of a laissez-faire guy. But I'm on your side on that thing, Les. I'm watching that, and it's not because it's the Rockets. It's because a five-year-old could have made that call.
Unbelievable.
I'm looking at that, and I am never a fire the refs guy or tweet every 30 seconds about how bad the refs are guy. Like, like I said, it's baked into the game for me. I'm watching that. Rich, someone has to be fired or suspended over that.
I couldn't agree more.
If you have an error that egregious in the real world, you get fired from your job.
Yes.
It's like falling asleep in an air control tower.
NBA officials have been really bad for a long, long time, and I finally found what I was looking for. Tony Brown, John Goble, Trey Maddox.
Fired!
They need to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Because that was, again, especially since we're talking about a point at which the game was being decided.
Yeah. I love that Harden karmed it right back in their face, though. That was great.
Yes.
Two guys in his face, and he knocks down that three. That was as fun. I watched it. Sammy and I were up. This is one of those times where it's fun having my son staying with me during winter break.
Right.
We were jumping around in the living room like it was game five of the Western Conference Finals.
It was an up-off-the-couch moment when he hit that three.
No doubt. We were both up off the couch. It was great. All right.